Okay, item number 13, please. Wow.
From the Employee Benefits Work Group, submitting an informational report reviewing Milwaukee County's short-term disability policies in conjunction with sick leave policies. At our June meeting, the Personnel Committee addressed Ward 11-7 regarding sick and vacation allowance benefits for non-represented employees. At that time, a follow-up report was requested, informational only, unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, you'll recall there's sort of two things going on at the same time here. The county board did eventually adopt, after a couple procedural steps, a ordinance amendments that changed vacation allowances and sick allowances in a number of ways, and particularly for rehired employees, but also for new employees. Eventually was adopted a provision that changed the payout of future accruals of sick allowance to use a final average salary notion, but no cap on accruals was ever adopted because it was tied into this notion of short-term disability and short-term disability policies. The work group had a meeting, and we discussed these issues. You've got a report. I won't walk through it unless you want me to. It basically says short-term disability policies, if you do something different than what you're doing now, which is an employee purchase policy, you do something employer-sponsored, it's going to cost you money. We think it'll cost you more money than anything you can do with respect to sick allowance policies. Most governmental employers use sick allowance as short-term disability. It's not necessarily ideal because it takes time to accrue that sick allowance to be able to use it, so new employees don't have that benefit, if you will. They do have FML rights for unpaid leave. They do have other kinds of accrued time they can use. They can purchase the Colonial product. But our recommendation is that we not pursue a change in our short-term disability policies primarily based on the fiscal situation we're in. We don't think you can afford to increase benefit levels in this area. However, we are continuing the discussion with the county exec, the county board chair, and amongst our group on the sick allowance policies. And I expect with about a 99% certainty that in the October cycle we will have for you a proposal to change accrual policies going forward to establish a cap, whatever that number ends up being, but establish a cap and to perhaps either eliminate or modify the payout policy going forward again. So we expect to bring that back in October.
Supervisor Lipscomb?
I guess I'm disappointed that there isn't some discussion of the number or the cost. I recognize that you kind of came to that conclusion, but I'd like to understand that a little better. We had significant debate on this, and there was an understanding that we were moving in that direction, parallel track, and some that I've been pushing. And I guess I'd like to know, because to say that we can't afford to do it, given our current, what we're currently providing in sick leave and the current policies, clearly we can't just afford to add on a new benefit. But I mean, I want to talk about in relation to scaling that back, because I just think that the current system and this idea that you accrue and bank sick time over years and years and years as an insurance policy against disability, that's just a perverse system. That's the opposite of insurance, and it it means that big segments of our employee base are just left unprotected for years, presumably, until they can do that, and then it's, everyone's accumulating their own bank of. That's just not the right system. So I guess I'd like to get to some sense, whether that's something you follow up with me on or not. I mean,
well,
I know you're following up on it and you're working with the county exec, but I believe I'm entitled to that, and it was certainly my expectation that that would come back when this came back.
Mr. Chairman, supervisors, first comment is I'm not the subject matter expert. I was at the meetings, obviously, and I'll do my best. We're missing a number of people here now. Conceptually, however, I guess from a fiscal standpoint only, for not fairness or anything else, just fiscal standpoint, if you continue to allow the sick allowance accruals and then you do take an action to limit the payout of them at retirement, I'm talking about, or to cap the accruals in some fashion, you have taken the current benefit and decreased its costs substantially. and you can do that without negotiation with most of your unions, and you have decreased your benefit costs. If you decide to go out and purchase short-term disability that would cover in the interim, you know, it would be just that, short-term disability. We're talking about 3 to 6 months kind of area. You're going to pay a premium of some sort to share that with the employee. And so by definition, you are decreasing your costs on one side and then increasing them on the other. And there was no way, my understanding is there was no way you would not end up with an increased cost in the end to the county. Now, if you want us to pursue that, we can do that, but our assumption was sort of we're not operating on a increasing benefits, increasing cost of benefits to the county. So okay. I don't know if that's enough of an explanation, but that's
the assumption, I guess that's what I want to see that. So I want to understand, what did you assume the scale back was at which point it would not make sense? I mean, because for instance, a more dramatic scale back, at some point, you reach equilibrium on that, I think.
Mr. Chair and Supervisor, one of the possibilities that may come back to you in October is no payout of sick allowance at retirement.
Okay.
In which case, you're paying it out as employees use it, obviously, during their employment, but if there's no payout at employment, and again, I want to emphasize we're talking about future accruals. But
okay, but what about, I mean, I guess one argument would be that there shouldn't be 12 sick days a year, it's only because of the system where we're expecting people to bank it up and have this massive bank for this, that you would scale back the number of sick days you're providing in conjunction with providing short-term disability, because you would no longer expect them to protect themselves against this aspect
Mr. Chairman and Supervisor, conceptually a sick day doesn't really cost you anything, because unless they take it off without pay, but otherwise they come to work sick and they get paid. And so it's not like paying money in premium to someone to fund a disability policy that they are then able to use. Sick allowance cost primarily is in the accrual and then the lump sum payout at the end. And we are going to talk about capping the accrual at a different number than the unlimited number we have now, and that's where the discussion lies at what that number should be. We have not discussed, we accrue at 3.7 hours per pay period, which is roughly 12 hours or 12 days a year. We have not discussed should that be something lower. It is consistent. We did look at other governments. That number is consistent with what other governments accrue, the rate at which they accrue. In the area, so that we are consistent in that sense.
I guess my problem with that is that we're consistent. Well, we're consistent on that, but we're also consistent on or they go even further in allowing this accrual. And so, does it make any sense that it's set up with this idea that you're going to be a long-term employee and that you're going to bank. And you're saying it doesn't have a cost. Well, it does have a cost when ultimately someone gets something that's rapid or has that. We all get there eventually. If you stay long enough, you're going to get there at one point or another. I guess that's my problem. My other problem with this is that with that sick time is that you're accruing it and we're not paying it as we go. Whereas at least in the case of short-term disability, you would be scaling back your sort of off-the-books liabilities if you're just accruing these huge balances of these liabilities that you at one point may pay. So it may have a cost, but I think it's better business, better practice for us that we would. It's better for our employees, but also better for our finances that we would know that we don't have this massive.
Well, I mean, again, this is not my specialty, but Mr. Chairman, Supervisors, I think the thought was, in a very general sense, is if we eliminate the massive cost of the payout at retirement, you've eliminated a big chunk of the cost. Obviously, Supervisor is correct that if you work here long enough and then you have a major health issue and you can sit out on sick allowance for 6 months, there's a cost because that person wouldn't get paid for those 6 months. So there is some cost. I don't know how we predict the usage of that, but there would be some cost out there. The number of employees who last that long, number one, the number of employees who then have that kind of health event, number two, compared to every employee who earlier in their career might have maternity leave, paternity leave, or other kinds of short-term disability, I think the usage would be much greater if you offer it to everyone. And this is just my intuitive sense. I don't have any education on this. So the discussion really was, we can't find a public government that offers in the area that offers this kind of short-term disability policy. They do offer sick allowance like what we do. It has a lower cost if we take care of the payouts at retirement. We cut back the cost and maintain the system, which doesn't solve all our problems. It's not as employee-friendly, and I'll grant you that, but to the extent you want to be employee-friendly, there's a cost. So I'm sorry that I can't really give you more. I apologize for that.
But is there more detail that's available from, for the work group to have come to the conclusion somebody must have done some numbers and come to that? Come to the conclusion that there's an imbalance, that it's more costly than it is effective. You must have something.
Mr. Chairman, supervisors, I think the key difference between what Supervisor Lipscomb is asking for right now and what we evaluated was the difference between a short-term disability policy in conjunction with sick leave or in lieu of sick leave. There's no scenario where we would drive any type of savings whatsoever from doing a short-term disability policy in conjunction with sick leave. We would need to be basically looking at replacing one plan with another. And that may work out to be more cost-effective, and that's something that I can certainly look into in much more detail. But adding one onto the other to supplement a perceived shortcoming in the benefit will increase costs. And our understanding of the direction was that we were to look at this from a cost-savings perspective, not a increased cost.
I still don't feel like you're answering the question. So when you came to the, obviously, if you're only talking about layering it on, it's going to be more expensive. What I'm asking is, when you looked at the cost of the new benefit, the cost of payout, or the savings from any modification or limitation, you have numbers for those different alternatives. And will that be provided, or whether it's today or separately? I don't understand how.
Mr. Chairman, supervisors, the cost of a short-term disability policy is going to be built is based on the plan itself. I need some more direction as to what type of plan you want to look at, how long we want to cover people, how long of an elimination period we want on the front end of it, and basically the percentage of income that we want to cover and whether we allow them to supplement that with their other county accrued time to get an exact price on it. What I've been looking at is the very general question of the additional benefit. I can get as specific as the board would like, but I need time to go back and analyze it.
And I'm sorry, we did not look at least my recollection is we did not look at eliminating the entire sick allowance system and going to a short-term disability. We did not do that, and to the extent that's the direction we would need to do that. What we were looking at is in the context of modifying the system and supplementing it with short-term disability, and the conclusion was it didn't make sense financially to do that. Now, if you want to talk about trying to eliminate the entire sick allowance system, that's, I think, a different question than what we looked at.
Yes, I'm looking for options. So I'm not saying you eliminate sick allowance, but the banking of sick allowance, there could be an incentive to the extent that you're not using, that you don't use your time, you get some incentive match towards short-term disability. And so there is a point at which that seems to me there's a point at which you could match what you save against the incentive you're providing. And I don't know what those costs are, but I guess I'm getting the sense that you obviously didn't do an actual comparison. And if that's the case, I mean, we knew that answer before. I mean, there was no new analysis required to say if we were just layering on a benefit, it's going to cost more. If that's the extent, we knew that. I mean, I didn't even need the work group to tell me that.
Do you have some specific information maybe that you want to redirect the group? I know you and Supervisor Schmidt.
I guess I'll have to. Maybe we'll have to rethink this. But I mean, to the extent that you're saying you're working with the county exec or you're working with the chairman, I thought I was working on this issue too, but.
No.
I don't feel like I'm getting any data that would help me move in a direction or provide you a direction, because all I've got right now is the same anecdotal kind of assumption that I could have made that same calculation myself, that a new benefit will cost more. If all other things being equal.
That's great.
I guess on behalf of the group, I apologize. We have members of the county board staff. We have members of the administration in the work group, obviously. And, I mean, I know every county board staff member, for example, doesn't speak for the entire county board. But the general sense, we did what we thought we were tasked with. Obviously, we didn't meet your expectations, and so I'm sorry about that. We did not do the kind of detail which I'm hearing you ask for. But we relied, I think, on the experience of the members of the group. We did talk about some numbers based on Mr. Hanjak's background and his experience from doing this in the private sector. We talked about comparing ourselves to other governments, and we did those kinds of things. But in terms of what I'm hearing Supervisor Lipscomb asking for, we did not do that kind of detailed math analysis of various permutations you're asking about. So it
okay. What's coming back next month?
Well, what we were intending to bring back, and I guess they can be on separate tracks, but what we were intending to bring back was a proposal on capping the accrual of sick allowance at some number and then changing the payout or eliminating the payout at retirement of sick allowance. And it's those two issues that we are really working between the second and third floor on.
Would it be... could we then take up the issue of short-term disability coverage after those determinations are made, or should we do it on a parallel track?
I don't believe, the Supervisor Chairman, that they have to be tracked together. We can make the sick allowance changes, and then if and when you decide to adopt some short-term disability policy, it may have implications for what you're doing with sick allowance, but we can make those changes at that point, too. So.
The other piece of information that I heard Supervisor Lipscomb ask for that I think, you know, would be, I think, appropriate as a part of that package is addressing the question of the current benefit level.
The accrual rate you're talking about?
The accrual rate, right. Did you say that was going to be a part of the recommendation?
It has not been something. All we did with that is look at what other governments do and found that we were consistent with other governments.
Okay. So you're saying you're getting at it by addressing the total number of hours that one can draw upon.
I mean, as an example, if the county executive has talked about 240 hours. It's 6 weeks, obviously. We've looked at other governmental plans with 960
right.
hours, which is fairly common in 6 months. Now, there are other governments that don't limit it at all, like we currently don't. The question is, how much absence do you think is appropriate to allow your employees to have, assuming they can accumulate that much sick allowance and vacation and other kinds of things? And so, you know, we have rules in the county for civil service leaves that cover 6 months. We have other things we can look at. And so that's kind of where we're at, is what is that right now?
Well, I mean, that addresses, I think, the concern that I and perhaps some others had, and that is that we've moved away, I think, from the concept of this being a true sick leave
mm-hmm.
and morphed it into a compensation bonus upon retirement.
Supervisor Schmidt?
Well, yes, and I agree with that last comment. But yeah, I remember the long report. I'm the one who started questioning these things, so I'll take some responsibility. But Supervisor Lipscomb picked up on it, and we did some other things together, the backdrop, et cetera, too. But it gets you all thinking about all these things, these benefits. Now, we went ahead of some benefits and saying, well, you're not supposed to add any benefits. We added a major benefit already, and we all know, okay? So, but on the sick leave, the idea was, that's right, the only difference you have with the work group and the county executive working together, you made the report for the county executive and the work group, Mr. Grady, right? Okay, yeah. Basically. Yeah. And said, okay, and then the report came back, well, you know, instead of the 240, is it 960? Or, so we're still looking at that. That's still what we're looking at.
Yeah.
And the problem was, again, you know, some people, you know, using the sick leave correctly and other people abusing. I don't know how we get to that. That's part of the problem. But we have instances, which I found, where people have legitimate, you know, they get these catastrophic things, they have heart problems, so they're out longer periods of time, and then they use up their sick leave, and then, you know, they go to other people, or we have bowling things, and so people can still get some money because they're out. And we thought short-term disability could be something, and, you know, it's in the contract now, so I don't know how many people take it, I know how it's emphasized, but that could be a addition to someone who really needs it, okay? So that's what I was trying to get to before, and yeah, I'm concerned about the other things, but I think we knocked some of those other loopholes about coming back, and, you know, when you come back, you get all the sick leave you didn't use. I mean, the you know, the case we're all familiar with. So I thought we had agreement on a lot of those other things that we do have some concerns about. But yeah, I don't know. I thought I had it, and I'm more confused now. It's really a confusing prospect here. So I guess what I'm trying to say is I just want to make sure that people who really need it don't lose it, and I don't want it to be abused. And if there's something can be done to try to look at that situation, I'd much appreciate it. So
sounds like I think what the committee's looking for is when you come back next month with the recommendation, maybe give a few more details of, you know, if we switch to it, the possibility of instituting short-term and where that cap would have to be on the accrual number of days in order to make it affordable, a trade-off of the cost. Is that kind of where you're looking at?
But it doesn't sound like they were intending to come back with short-term disability and recommendation at all. They're saying that they don't think it's something to be pursued. They've reached a dead end relative to that topic, is the way I read the report.
That's the way the report is written. Obviously, yeah, we're subject to re-referral or further direction.
Yeah, and that's the point. Go ahead, that's great.
Yeah. The only thing I was going to say, I'm looking at Mr. Session over here and knowing Mr. Cady in the next month, how busy they're going to be, but that's another question.
Yeah. And I think, Supervisor, that was the point I was trying to make, is you want to modify what they're planning on coming back with to ask for additional information, and if that's the case, if you can't do it by next month, then...
I'm sorry, I just to clarify, I'm sorry, I'm so frustrated, and I recognize that you're not privy to the conversations I've had with colleagues and whatnot. I mean, this thing went nowhere, in part because of the promise or the understanding that they thought that they were going to get this back and that they wanted to do it as one package. And so to proceed like this with the idea that we think we're coming back, kind of that comes back next month or whatever, with the same cap package, but without this address, we're in the same place we were, actually not just last cycle because it got laid over, mm-hmm. So two cycles ago, plus the recess. So 90 days ago, we're in the same, we're literally saying, let's go about this on this parallel system that we had 90 days ago. So I don't see that it's going to move. Now, unfortunately, the timing is, I don't know how this referral, this is probably really terrible, this would be a really terrible time, but please, I mean, if it's not your recommendation, that may be the case, but if you don't provide me the data, then I don't even have, you know, I'm not in the position to sort of recommend the benefit design. I mean, I guess use what the perhaps the default would be to use what is currently the
purchase product.
The purchase product, yeah, as you know, sort of at least as a frame, you know, and then talk to what extent it would have to be adjusted. I just think if there aren't some options, I don't think we get where we need to on this. I mean, yes, you might be able to eliminate the payout in terms of dialing back that the cap amount and or any changes that other changes that might have to happen to scale it back. I don't think you're going to get that out of this board without some discussion of some level of incentive or share, short-term disability product.
Okay, so you want to make that referral back?
I would refer it back for that follow-up.
They're all discussing back there.
Are you clear, Jody, on what it is exactly that we're asking for?
Mr. Chairman, Supervisor Lipscomb, not exactly. Could you rephrase that for me, please? Well,
it's a referral back to the
Point Benefits Work Group.
For more analysis of options for short-term disability insurance. Options of how it might be provided under different scenarios where whether it be
employer or employee,
some sort of employer match payment or incentive payment or options that would exchange perhaps you're exchanging banked sick time for some incentive payments or something, so that we begin to sort of burn off that big liability that we're carrying. I'm sorry, I'm getting too detailed, but I want options. In conjunction with how you would scale back.
Sick accrual
and cap.
Accrual and payout. Yeah.
And perhaps even accrual. Yeah, sick base.
It's in Rick's head. So we don't have to vote on that referral. Okay, let's move on to the next item then.
Wonderful.